to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. And Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Also, pull out your document. It's in the back, the document there. It's entitled, What Influence Does the Actualization of Salvation in Eternity Exert on Eternal Doctrines of Grace? We're moving through this document, and I want you to turn to page 20. Under this section there, we shall begin today the legalistic view. Now, amen. This is, I think, this 22nd message in this series. And we are going to, within the next 2 weeks, absolutely wrap this up. And doing this, we have dwelt on the eternal doctrines of grace from the knowledge of God having completed all things in eternity. Your salvation was actualized in eternity. And so we view these doctrines of grace, amen, from the eternal vantage point of God having already culminated all in all. And so with that, we have gone through total depravity, and then we went through unconditional election, and then we went through a particular redemption, which we prefer coin it, particular redemption. And also we went through irresistible grace, and now we finalized the section under the preservation, not perseverance of the saints, preservation of the saints. Amen. As we continue to beat the drum and sound the trumpet in conveying the message that God has already accomplished all of these things. It's already done. Your salvation is a done deal this morning. You're not, amen, you're not persevering. You're not trying, amen, to reach no goal of being saved. Amen. God did not leave it up to you, because it would have been, amen, a lost cause if it is left up to depraved human abilities. We are depraved. We are so depraved. That's everybody. When I say we, we're talking about everyone who is born after the similitude of Adam. You are a depraved creature. Amen. Your body, amen, has not the ability to please God. You cannot please God in the flesh. It is a lost cause for you of yourself, amen, to come up to a righteous standard of God. Christ is the righteous standard of God. My friend, you cannot operate on the sphere and the plateau and the level of matching the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Now, in this passage that I have called your attention to, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12, there are two other scriptures, amen, that are partner to it. The other one is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And the other one is Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. And they all have one word in it, amen, that links these three verses. And it is the Greek word oxios, which is oxios is not translated, as some have translated this word, amen, worthy. My God, if we had to be worthy, if worthiness, if human worthiness was, amen, a part of the requisite, amen, if human worthiness was required, no one would be saved. Huh? and you can press, you can persevere, you can press far, you can, amen, you can struggle trying to go up the rough side of that mountain, amen, amen, with all the equipment and the skill, amen, of a professional climber, that's one mountain you're not climbing, amen. You go up the rough side of the mountain trying to make it in, you're going to get to heaven. No, man. Oh, my God, if all the denominations that we see and the dogma that's in each of these doctrines, amen, they're just destructive. They're destructive because they all culminate in God's people being stressed out, amen, and frustrated, amen, trying to accomplish something that if you knew them and understood the essence of what it is conveyed to us in our contract to know, amen, that you should stop trying to accomplish something that's already done.
Oh,
it's done. Everybody say it's done.
It's done.
In Ephesians 4:1, we're just going to read that, amen, right quickly, and then we're going to read Colossians 1:10, then we're going to actually get into exegesis per se of 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Amen. We got to tell this thing like it is.
Right.
Amen. Too long, centuries, amen, people have been given the wrong information, God's people I'm talking about, amen. And you have all of these institutions, as we have just conveyed, and as we write a stinging, amen, polemic regarding institutions and the dogmas and doctrines and creeds, confessions, yeah, per se, that are coming out of such. And people are trying to live by these creeds, amen. The only thing you can do with these creeds is die by them. You can't live by them. You can die by them, but you can't live by them. Oh, no. Because they're destructive, amen. But the word of God has come to encourage our hearts. All right? Everybody got Ephesians 4:1, say amen. All right, Elder, oh my God, we really, I guess this got a little behind this morning, amen, but we're gonna get through this. Verse 1, Elder, read that.
Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse.
Verse 1, right.
Mm-hmm. First verse, yes. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
See that word? You got that word, that worthy. You know what worthy means. Mm-hmm. Worthy is synonymous with what? Deserving.
Numbers.
You see how antithetical that is? You see how contrasting that is?
Uh-huh.
What is grace?
Without merit. No merit.
No merit.
No merit.
So that word worthy, just understanding, amen, a little bit of definition lets you know that word, something wrong with that word, right?
Uh-huh.
Huh? All right, let's read from the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 4. With the first verse, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Beseech therefore you, I, the prisoner in the Lord, worthily to walk.
See that word? That word there is axios. 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 Worthily. Sincerely. Suitably. In conformity to. Walk in conformity. God, worthy. All right, second time, let's move to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10.
Colossians chapter 1, the 10th verse.
Everybody got to say amen. All right.
That ye, in the King James,
King James, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing.
Yeah, you see, you read that. What comes to your mind? Huh? No, that your performance.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That what is required is the performance of you being, your performance being on a merit pleasing to God.
Right. Right. That's it. Amen.
Look at what that is saying. And then look at the depraved nature.
Have mercy.
Look at the depraved nature of all of us. Look at your depraved self and my depraved self, and then put that stipulation there, and what have you done? Huh? You've got a failure just waiting to happen. Huh? Prone to happen. You have eliminated success.
That's right, as an option.
That is, if you do not take this word in the right context.
Right.
So it says what now?
That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing,
mm-hmm.
being fruitful in every good work,
mm-hmm.
and increasing in the knowledge of God.
You see, you got all this now, and you say, well, I got to do all of this in order to be pleasing to God. Amen. And you can't. And this is why God's people are all confused. And it gets to the point after a while, we don't really take the word of God seriously.
Right.
Not really.
Right.
Not really. No, you don't.
That's right.
No, you don't. You drown yourself in religiosities.
Right.
Amen. And your mind somehow veers away and says, well, as long as I just do halfway good of what the stomach said, then after a while, they say, well, just do the best you can.
Right, right, right.
Hmm? That's it.
And this takes away the uncertainty of salvation.
That's it.
Right. Absolutely. Amen.
You press pride, you persevering, you move. You say, no, do not call us Calvinists. We are not Calvinists.
Preaching. That's it.
We endorse preservation, not perseverance. Now, does this mean, amen, that there are goals in our contract? Absolutely. Amen. But you're not doing it or trying it or moving it or endeavoring to, amen, to be something. You're endeavoring, amen, because you're thanking God because you are something.
Glory to God.
You are saved.
That's right.
You are a child of God.
Yes.
You are. You are because you were. Yes. From the beginning in eternity, He placed you in the body of Christ.
Glory to God. Thank God. Amen.
Not about you and your abilities. Our abilities. What abilities? We have the ability to be depraved. All you got to do is just breathe and, amen, you'll function in depravity. But to match the requisite righteousness of Christ.
No way.
Read that from the Greek.
Colossians chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
the 10th verse, Greek text. To walk worthily.
Worthily. The same word, axios.
Right, right.
In conformity. Mm-hmm. Worthily.
Mm-hmm.
In conformity. Mm-hmm. Not worthful. How you going to walk worthful?
No way.
Meritoriously.
No way.
When God's going to look at your track record and He keeps a book on you and, hey, you know, here's a plus and here's a minus. And they'll mess this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of God's people just throw up their hands and say, oh, well, hey, I can't do this. I can't make this.
Amen.
Hmm? Or either some just begin to, you know, go through a form and a fashion, you know, So you know, don't ever know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Finish it up.
To what worthy of the Lord, mm-hmm. to all pleasing, in every good work, bearing fruit and growing in the full knowledge of God.
Okay, now you got the horse pulling the cart, not the horse trying to push the cart.
Amen.
Hmm? See, as God causes you, amen, to testify, as He causes you, amen, to perform,
right.
As He, amen, vetoes and voids, amen, the characteristics of the flesh. You know, when you see me walking right, God's using me. When you see me talking right, well, God's using me. It's not you. Every time you're doing something right, I guarantee you, it's not your flesh doing it.
Hallelujah.
If it's wrong, amen, that's Him all the way. But if it's right, amen, God has vetoed the flesh. Huh? You can't get not one ounce of righteousness out of the flesh. All right. Now, let's go to our verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. All right, everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
I hear pages. I'll wait a few minutes and see. We just, you know, this is what caused people to either say the word of God is inconsistent, you know, the word of God, you know, is not clear. The word of God, man, is hard to understand. You know, you hear this all over the place. No. And after a while, you know, you get to a point where you say, well, these are just some words written down there. Just, you know, because you know, all these consistencies. Then you look around at all these denominations and all these doctrines. You know, and it's just mass confusion.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but there's no confusion in our contract.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
It's it.
But you can't just read this Bible. You got to study it.
Yes,
you got to study.
I tell
the ministers that we only get to the point where all we do is exegete.
Mm-hmm.
We don't Bible study is not reading commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon what you think the translator is trying to say. No! That's why we go to the original text, amen, and we exegete it contextually, what? Historically and grammatically. First of all, you got to know what you're reading.
That's right.
And if it's law, amen, it's not talking to you. If it's kingdom, it's not talking to you.
Amen.
Our contract. This is why we say, amen, and of course, we're going to continue to say it because it's true. Stay in your gospel. Good advice.
Amen.
Let me run over there to Deuteronomy. I'm talking to you.
Oh, glory.
And even those that it is speaking to, did they ever do it?
Never.
Huh?
Never.
No.
No.
You know? And so, then you bring the thing right down into life. And the reason we're so confused in life is that we're confused in the essence of the eternal things of God and knowing them and understanding them. And that's all of us. Me too, all of us. Everybody. You know? And it's only as we take life and we correlate it and we align it with the Word of God that it makes sense. Life doesn't make sense.
Thank God.
It would explain many of the things that happen.
Right.
Many of the boneheaded things that we do. So I don't know what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. I'm depraved.
That's it.
Huh?
Oh, have mercy.
So I made a stupid mistake. Yes, you just acted very depraved today, which that's what the flesh is.
Praise.
There was no intervention to void the stupidity.
Right. Have mercy.
That's what happened. So why didn't God intervene and stop me from doing this stupid thing? It wasn't His decree. It was, amen. He allows depravity to manifest, amen. There will be a a tremendous testimony, amen, that those that are in the body of Christ, they were depraved, just as depraved as those that are not in the body of Christ.
Oh, man.
That's the bottom line of it.
That's it.
So we'll know that it was all to the praise and the glory of God that he saved a bunch of people who didn't deserve to be saved.
Yes, yes.
That's what that's about.
Yes.
All right.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, my God. We're going to run just a little over this morning now. You all, amen. verse 12.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, mm-hmm. chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
King James translation. That mm-hmm. ye would walk worthy of God,
mm-hmm.
who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory.
All right. Oh, my God. Here you've got this word, and again, it has to be worthily. Read that from the Greek.
1 Thessalonians 2:12 Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Exhorting you and consoling and witnessing for.
Oh, look at that. Go back and read the King James again. I want you to do. Let's stop and let's juxtapose a minute. In other words, juxtapose means you take one verse from one translation and put it right next to the next translation and see, in this case, how far off they are. Read that King James again.
Okay. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory.
Have mercy.
They missed three words in there. King James didn't even deal with it. Three words they missed. How many of you have the Greek text with you? Look at the Greek text. They missed some words. Read very slowly, Elder. And if you don't have the Greek text, listen very intently.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, we got to get this thing right. So that your lives don't be so mixed up.
Yes,
and so confused. And you're not out there thinking that you can accomplish something that you can't.
Right.
And it's not even necessary because God has already accomplished it.
Oh, glory.
And here, he's not writing them to them to do something. He's writing to let, in regard, amen, to giving them, amen, the indicative of the facts. The imperative is the command. The command follows the facts.
Oh, yes. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Come in here and make a bunch of rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And haven't taught you nothing.
Mm-hmm. Have mercy.
Mm-hmm. But a bunch of rules.
Right.
You don't do that in your household. No. Those of us that have raised kids.
That's it. No.
To just make a bunch of rules are worthless.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm.
You're gonna teach them the basis of life. You're gonna take them to church, huh? Aren't you gonna give them some facts?
Yeah.
Are you just gonna stand over and say, "I'm gonna flatten you if you mess up"?
Oh, man.
Knowing that you're talking to depravity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give God as much sense as we give ourselves.
Come on,
mm-hmm. In this sense.
Come on.
That's it, preach it. Amen.
In this sense. All right, very slowly, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have the Greek text, follow along.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Exhorting.
Right.
You.
Exhorting.
And consoling.
Exhorting.
Yes.
The King James didn't even deal with that. Exalted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've written a section and I know I passed it out to you. Some of you probably don't know where it is. It's called An Analysis of Parenesis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the root of what this word comes from. It means to exalt or encourage. In fact, there are two derivatives of that in here. And the first one is exalting. And the second one is what?
Consoling. Exhorting you and consoling.
Consoling. Mm-hmm. Comforting.
Yes, yes.
Exalting, yes. And consoling. Mm-hmm. Exalting and consoling.
Right.
King James translation didn't even deal with that. Mm-hmm. Exalting and consoling and what?
And witnessing.
And witnessing. So before you get to the walking, you see how the King James goes straight to it? That you would walk? Before it got to the word walk, it says what? Read that again.
Exhorting you and consoling.
Consoling.
And witnessing.
And witnessing.
Have mercy.
Before you get to walk, before you get to worthy. Before you get another document we wrote, the doctrine of peripatiology. You all remember that one?
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Can I go back on the net? It's there. It's still there. That is the study of the doctrine of the teaching of the child of God's walk. King James just come out the gate, boom, do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You see how he's going these? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you going to do it with? Mm-hmm. And see, it is a matter of not you striving to be.
Right.
But doing because you are.
Thank God, yes.
I serve the Lord not to be saved. I serve the Lord because I am saved.
Amen.
I'm not faithful, being faithful, having the goal of faithfulness in order to get to heaven.
Nope.
But because heaven is a soul issue. I'm in the heavenlies in Christ. Yep. Not trying to get to the heavenlies to be with Christ.
Thank God.
It's a difference. It's a vast difference. It's a vast difference. And what would help us is to know that we are totally depraved. Amen. We're worthless. There is not an ounce of good in any of us.
None. Amen.
Not of ourselves. And so it is what God must put in us to work out of us.
Right.
And it's not source from us. It is source from Him.
Because
none of us of ourselves are any good. So, woo, Pastor, don't tell people that. Don't tell you the truth. So when you mess up, you have some understanding of what's going on. I didn't say if you mess up. I said when you mess up.
When?
And we all mess up. Don't we all mess up?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yes we do. Yes we do. Don't you ever. I've sit in settings of my life, you know, come up with all this old crazy stuff that, you know, and then, you know, it's like, you know, if you walk in truth, then you don't have to. Nobody have to play no games. When I mess up, I mess up. Forgive me. I've sinned. So, woo, Pastor, don't say that word.
Have mercy.
I remember some years ago we were on the air saying, "Only a sinner saved by grace." And somebody took us to task for it. Talking about, don't sing. Only a sinner. Don't sing. Only a sinner. Don't sing that you, if you're saved, you're not a sinner. Next Sunday we sung it again. He said, are you saved or are you a sinner? I'm a sinner saved by grace. See, what we do, we put four or five deeds up there and say, if you get by those, hey, you, no, you're not. When you read the whole scripture, there's a whole litany of things. And I defy anybody in here to get through all of them and nothing touch you. No. Now, do we do this to give any comfort in the things we do? No, no. No. What we're trying to point out is that you can't clean the baby up. You got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. You know how sin is done away with?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's it.
What did Paul write?
In my flesh dwelleth no good.
Yeah, but then how do you get rid of it? What did he say?
The destruction of the flesh.
I know the King James said, what do you call it?
Dissolve.
No. This flesh will be, this body will be destroyed. And that's why he's given us a new. That's why he put you in Christ before he manifested you in these bodies. These are temporary vessels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who you are in Christ is who you really are.
Thank you.
So the new man is perfect.
Glory to God.
The problem is we get the old man mixed up with the new man. We think that the new man is the old man reformed. No, he's not.
Oh, glory.
Not a thing you can do with the old man. He shall be what? Destroyed. When this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed.
Oh.
We now have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Amen.
So we don't worry about the eviction, amen, of the old man, because that's not who we are anyway. We're in the new man. You don't mind being evicted out of a shack if you have a mansion.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes, Lord.
So that's how the problem is solved. Mm-hmm. And it's already solved.
Mm-hmm. Already solved.
It's already solved.
Already done.
So as we go through life, you have the struggles and the stresses and things and so forth. Don't throw salvation in there.
Amen.
If there's one thing that you are successful in, is that you are successful in Christ.
Glory to God.
Already.
Already.
And then you can take that down into life. Whatever else is coming, hey, it's short-lived and temporary. Amen. And as I'm able, amen, to accomplish some things, amen. And the things I don't accomplish, amen. Because the ultimate, what life is about, amen, God took care of it a long time ago.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank God. Thank God.
In eternity. Everybody say in eternity.
In eternity.
Finish reading it up. Finish reading it up. In fact, read the whole thing over again.
First Thessalonians chapter.
Yeah, the part that they left out. Isn't that something? And of course, what happens is this. We have three distinct documents of manuscripts, classification-wise. We have the Textus Receptus. We have the so-called majority texts. And then we have the critical texts. Now, the critical texts, those manuscripts are the oldest manuscripts. Now, if I have the oldest manuscripts and I have newer manuscripts, and something is missing from the new that was in the old, what does that tell you? It was eliminated, right? Huh? It was eliminated. So it's not in the original text. Because they just wanted to get to the point and said, do it.
Right. No.
That's not the reading here. Read that one more time.
Exhorting you.
Mm-hmm. Exhorting.
And consoling.
Consoling?
And witnessing.
And witnessing. For what?
For the that you should walk.
Uh-huh.
Worthily of God.
Mm-hmm.
The one calling you to the of himself, kingdom and glory.
Of himself, even in glory. Amen. Oh, my God. Huh? Oh, my God. Hmm? Here, look at this word. Greek word, kalundos. Calling. Calling. Amen. What is the calling? The calling is to exaltation. The calling is to consolation or comfort. And the calling is to witnessing or receiving the message. That's what the calling. That's what he's calling you to. He's not calling you, amen, to match up to Jesus. He's calling, he's calling you to receive this word. He's calling you to be confident. He's calling you, oh my God, to be exalted and encouraged.
Oh yes, oh yes.
You see? They even mess with the tents. So the thing is, what did you really say? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is it really saying versus what they, amen, what they, you see, I would imagine they dropped this, these words out because it didn't fit in what they wanted to say.
Right, that's it.
It didn't fit.
That's right.
And you wonder why we go back to the original Greek manuscripts and here you got some information here that's been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Left it out. Mm-hmm. Just left it out. And then change the text because of what they wanted to say. And putting a command for you to do something that's impossible for you to do.
Oh, right. Bless Jesus.
You show me anybody in here that's worthy. Nobody.
Oh.
Amen. Of course, the presence of God is with us. He's worthy. But any in human flesh that's worthy?
None.
Thanks. All have sinned. And what?
And
I'm short of the glory. There's none righteous.
No, not
one. Of course, you got to go to our gospel to get that.
That's right.
Now, you don't hear that. You don't hear those verses that much, do you?
No.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No. 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 Now, let's go to the document here. Page 20. Legalistic view. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
The classic view given by legalists is of God's people striving, even struggling, to conform to his righteous standard in the pursuance of their salvation.
Right.
Then when these man-made stipulations invariably fail to manifest, they simply assert that such ones were apparently never saved by misapplying the conveyance of 1 John 2:19 of the claim or aver that such ones were once saved, but because of their failure to conform, they subsequently lost their salvation. Have you heard that before? This idea should be categorically rejected because of its violation of the contextual intent of the scriptures in every dispensation, and this is thus in every respect an unscriptural view. Even though this view is shrewd, it does in some respect, as we said last week, present an honorable view of what constitutes the high requisite of the testimony of salvation when manifested in the depiction of the child of God's outward conduct in his life. Further, at least it tries to be more consistent than the synergistic view. This is why we fight tooth and nail the synergistic view.
Yes, Lord.
In stating that if a man can will himself into a state of grace, he is also able to will himself out of that state. If free will was the determinant factor in the matter, it surely would flow in both directions. However, in any respect, any view that is averring or claiming that mankind possesses this type of determinative power is both unscriptural and not only unscriptural, as we said last week, obnoxious. Let's go to free grace. Diligent study of God's word sets forth the scripture position that the elect are not saved by the utilization of their free will, but by the mercy of God's free grace. It is not to him that willeth, nor to him that runneth, but what? To God that showeth mercy. Amen. Here we want you to be directed. Of course, we're not going to do it. Romans chapter 5, go home and read that. Chapter 5, verse 15 to 21, Titus 3 and 5. Now, salvation was exclusively conferred by the sovereign disposition of God, not by any acts, will, or gestures of mankind. Then it follows that if it is not human acts, wills, or gestures that have placed God's elect in Christ, then it stands to reason that no human acts, will, or gestures of the absence of them could ever cause such ones to fall out from Christ. The eternal salvation of God's elect abides in the scripture documentation of such ones having been chosen, redeemed, called over into nations now, sanctified, oh my God, justified and glorified before they were ever manifestly created. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. The definition of salvation within itself, which means deliverance, should be sufficient enough to depict that nothing could possibly arise to cause its recipients to be lost. You can't be lost after you have been saved. You can't be lost after you have been delivered. Amen. God would have to be either unwilling or unable to save his elect. And the scriptures' documentation are perfectly clear that neither of these suppositions true. Here we reference Romans chapter 11, verse 29, corroborating John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. Now, the eternal decree of God was motivated by his love, which is not fickle. That is, here today and gone tomorrow. Those that he loves unto the end, corroborating John 13 and 1. Without question, there is no possibility that the elect of God could ever be lost. However, the always open question, manifestation-wise, as to whether those who have professed faith in Christ are in fact of the elect. In effect, there are no testimony evidence whereby someone can definitively comprehend whether or not a person's profession that is outside of yourself is genuine or real, as opposed to it being false and spurious. No. Only the Lord, according to 2 Timothy 2 and 19, only the Lord knows those who he is. And this is why we say don't go around, you know, making an assessment as to who's a God's elect. In the kingdom gospel, John 10 and 27 states that Christ's sheep hear his voice and follow him. But in testimony evidence to this, 2 Peter chapter 10, verses 10 and 11 conveys are, and we quote, brethren, be diligent to make steadfast your calling and election, for in doing so you may never stumble, for so shall be richly supplied to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, and here we're in the kingdom gospel now, James chapter 6, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 states, quoting again, that one's faith should not be, quote, dead faith, a mere mental consent of the testimony of one outward life that is consistently exhibited as one's confession. Now, if questions are raised when reading this, this is why we say go where? Go to your own gospel. Finally, in the grace gospel, as we've just read. Instructions is, amen, where the calling with which you were called. Colossians 1 and 10 convinces you're walking worldly, as we've just explained, to the Lord, and every good work being faith and increase into the knowledge of God. Second, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that we have just exegeted, conveys, amen, the essence of the of walking worldly, but give some information before you get to that statement. You're walking because you have been informed, you have been encouraged. Oh my God, hallelujah. And with that, you're walking worthily, not worthy, but worthily, amen, of God, who is calling you to do what? How is he calling you to, amen, to be in conformance? That Word simply means being in conformance. How is he calling you to be worthy or in conformance? No, he's calling you to encouraging you. Yeah. He's calling you to instructing you. Yeah. You all over here.
Yeah. Oh, glory to God.
That's what this is all about.
Thank God.
That's what this is all about. Amen. So hence God's design for certain of his elect is that their manifested new life in Christ exudes testimony evidence in their manifested life. This is testimony in the lives of those in Christ who is exemplary of a new life that is itself everlasting. Thus, enabled ones of the elect will manifestly endure in deceased instances, in decreed instances before God. I think I'll repeat that. Enabled ones, as we're able, we will manifestly show forth the fruit of righteousness in decreed instances. In instances where God decrees that you testify, you testify.
Right. Yes.
You will shine as lights. Mm-hmm. But it is not you shining as a light. It is you being caused to shine as a light because God has decreed in that instance for you to be a man, a light.
Right.
If you understand that, then you know the difference between when you do and when you don't.
Amen.
Again, when you see me walking right, what?
God's
using me. God, it's not you. It's not you. It's not human effort. Amen. Now, close with this. Philippians 1 and 6 speaks of him who did begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thus, such testimonies are attributable to God's purpose and manifesting his power through his beloved. Example, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. By the grace of God,
yes.
I am what I am.
Glory to God.
By the grace of God. Uh-huh. Everybody said, by the grace of God.
Grace of God.
I am what I am.
I am.
Not by you, not by you, not by you. By the grace of by the grace of God. Somebody comes and says, oh, you're giving a good testimony. You know, and you should say, oh, yeah. You know, no. It's a thank the Lord. Because they know it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And this is why, basically, what we say, we said we thank the Lord that the brother so-and-so and the sister so-and-so did such and so-and-so. So we thanking God. Who did Paul? And Paul is writing, Is he ever thanking them or is he thanking God for them?
God for them.
Because you know it's not them.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. You manifested it through your body, but you were caused to manifest it. Because that same body that can shine can also. Huh? Can also be ugly.
That's it.
So how can we be both kind and ugly? Well, we're kind when God causes us to be kind.
God.
We're ugly, amen, when he lets the flesh does its thing.
Yes.
Do its thing. When he allows the flesh to do its thing, then that's the ugly. And it coming out, you say, well, hey, you know, some people used to say, well, I lay my religion down and tell you off. No, well, what happened is now, amen, when you were holding it, amen, and holding your peace, that was the Holy Spirit had the clamps on you.
Right.
If you could have said it, you would have. You all would hear me.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So that's the difference when you did and when you didn't. That's the difference when you do what you should and you do what you would. Should is what God, amen, overrules the flesh, amen, and causes you to do. Would, amen, is when he just lets the flesh hang out and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Same person, amen. Huh? This is why you can't look at a person and say, oh, they're not saved because they did such and such. Don't you ever, don't you dare.
That's it.
Somebody did such and such. Well, you, what did you do? Well, mine wasn't as bad as theirs. Says who? Says who? Who made that assessment? You know how we can excuse ourselves.
Oh,
you all don't hear me this morning. You know how we can justify ourselves?
Yes.
That same thing that the Oliver did, if you do it, you try to justify. Someone once said that if you ever end up on trial for robbery, you don't want nobody on the jury who has robbed someone. Because you're in trouble. Amen. They're gonna make sure you get punished. Amen.
Oh, man.
To maybe try to take some of the pressure off themselves.
Yes, yes,
huh? To prove that they ain't robbery. Amen. They make sure that they throw the book at you. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace that toward me came not in vain, but more abundantly than they all I labored. Yet not I,
yes.
Yet not I,
not I,
not I, not me. Everybody said not me.
Not me.
But the grace of God that is in me. All right, we shall move forth. We have two more outings on this. We shall wind this up, amen, as we go forward, amen. Know and understand and be assured, amen, that God is doing this thing, not you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Come again, Lord, another hand.